If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no.
Witch Police Radio.
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm your guest host, Andrew, from the Head Full of Radio podcast. Today, my guest is James DeBrayson, solo artist and owner/operator/music nerd of Pick This Production Studio, located just north of Selkirk. Welcome, James.
Thanks.
For reference, we're both in his studio. I'm in the vocal room with the washboard behind me, and he's in the studio area, which is where you should probably be, right?
I believe so. I can see you through a window.
Yeah.
In the vocal booth, which is very weird.
I know. Staring at each other in two different ways is kind of weird.
We got screens all over the place.
You really lose it in the audio version of this, but we're staring at each other in two different locations. So I'm going to go right back to the beginning. James, when did you first discover music, and what got you into wanting to be a musician?
Wow.
For reference, he also has a solo album on all platforms.
Yeah, I've
just wanted to throw that out there.
I've been listening to music since I was a kid. My dad was in a band called Shadow Force in the 80s, so he was a big influence on me. We grew up listening to everything. We had a vinyl record player, and we listened to lots of Led Zeppelin, Neil Young, tons of music throughout the years, and actually didn't pick up an instrument. Well, I shouldn't say that. I picked up drums when I was like 5 or 8, somewhere around that age. And then guitar, I really didn't pick it up till I was about 12, 13 years old. So I didn't know if you knew that.
No, this is as much for me as it is for everyone else. What, you and I met, and I want to say in like 2008 or so, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
But I didn't really get to know you until 2016. So there's a lot of questions I have.
Good.
You were a lot more of a complete musician by the time I met you at our jam parties with More Than a Hand. But I want to know, I have like a couple of albums that really got me into wanting to make noise. Do you have one or two that are like seminal albums that turned you into the musician you are?
Led Zeppelin 4, whatever you want to call it, Zoso, whatever you want to call that album. That one always stuck in my mind. Like when I think rock and roll, that is what I think of. I think a lot of people think of that album as that. And then it's just songs from there. I mean, Rockin' in the Free World, that was always an amazing song for me growing up. I think I learned how to play solos through Neil Young.
Do have a Neil Young quality when it comes to solos, now that you mention it.
There's a little bit of wailing going on.
Yeah, holding that note a little long.
Yeah, a little too long, but just right.
So you have this studio, Pick This Productions. It's, like I said, close to Selkirk. When did that first come to pass?
I think that was almost 10 years ago, close to when I met you. I had a friend, Malcolm. He goes by the artist name Malcolm J. I saw him on Instagram. I thought this guy's rap is really good. Like his flow is just amazing. So what I did is I just commented on one of his songs, and I just said, you know, I can't remember exactly what I commented, but it was criticism on his sound. And he messaged me back, and he's like, "Who the heck are you?" and then he went and said, "Can you come to my studio tomorrow?" And that's how it started. So it started in if you don't know, I lived in a trailer park in Winnipeg and Southdale, and now I'm in Selkirk. But in that trailer park is where Pick This Production was born. I started how many other people start, just with a little 2i2 Focusrite, and I just mixed music through it. Tried out a bunch of different DAWs, and really it was Malcolm and myself who figured out how to mix and got advice from other producers and mixers along the way, and now I'm here.
See, the interesting thing I find is, when did you say that was? That was like 2010-ish?
No, that was 2016, 17.
And then it took you a while to get here.
Yeah, I've been here for 7 years.
So when you got here, you started working on this crappy little, one-bedroomy, two-bedroom house?
A whole family lived here, Andy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I think there was 3 girls in the family and 2 parents, and it was, it's a cozy house, we'll put it that way. I think it's 800 square feet.
Yeah, and on all the walls are, kids' drawings and math equations and random...
That came later.
Yeah.
So that's when the house became more derelict, and it was an abandoned house on my property that I basically gutted and put up walls. I made this room that I'm sitting in. I made the vocal booth. Then I basically put my drum kit in every corner of this house to figure out where it sounded the best, and that's where the live room is.
Yeah, I think the drums, from my recollection, have been in 3 or 4 places in that room right behind me.
Yep.
When you saw this house, when you bought your place adjacent, which is, by the way, much nicer than this house. I just want people to know it's not a derelict place that he lives. Did you know immediately you wanted to turn it into a studio?
Yeah, we were looking for something with...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I told my wife I needed something at minimum with a concrete pad just to start building something. Either that or a really nice shed or something, some kind of man cave, right? Because I got a lot of toys and very young children, so we got to keep it down while they're trying to sleep, especially when they're at those the really young stages there.
And it's far enough away from your main house that it's not bothersome. I've stood outside or walked up here from your driveway, and it's not bothersome over there. It's
not too bad. You hear a little bit of bass come through.
Sorry, that's my fault.
It is your fault, but it's not too bad otherwise.
We, for reference, James and I are in a band together. You've not heard of us. We're called Dark Stars, and have been working on our first album since the pandemic started, I think.
I think so, yeah.
That's about safe to say, right?
Yeah.
It's turning into that Chinese democracy right about now, but we'll get there.
We have all of our personal projects and everything on the go too. So
yeah,
it's a dream project of ours. Once we're done it, I mean, they're great songs, and we want to play them live for people. We have played live until the fun pandemic hit, and we're all left to our devices and our homes, and that's all there was.
Yeah, we were in a good spot when we hit there too. We probably needed another year to get the album done, and you know, pandemic fucked all that stuff up. I'm sorry, can I swear on this?
I believe you can.
Oh, okay.
Well, I've heard his show before.
So have I when I was on it, and I don't think I swore.
Now everything's so confusing, and it's like that we're
So this has been in development for quite a while, and you worked really hard on it. Like, I can, if you had seen what it looked like when he first got in here, and he was talking all the time about what he wanted. Is this as close to what you wanted originally, or do you still see a lot of stuff you want to fix in here?
Oh, there's definitely always room for upgrades. I mean, the whole middle part of this, it's kind of a three-part room, I guess this house is, where you have your entrance where clients can wait and listen while people are recording. There's a vinyl room in there. The middle room has all the amps and the vocal booth and mixing, and then the other room is the live room, and there's a back room where I call it the Mad Scientist Hour, where I'm just building stuff, fixing amps, fixing guitars. It's my workshop.
So who was the first band to come in here?
The first band?
Or like the first somebody that paid you for recording.
That paid me for recording.
You don't have to say who it is, but I just like to know, like,
no, actually,
the timeline of when you first moved in here and to the point of you.
Yeah. It happened immediately, actually, where I had a family friend who came in, Pierre Gagnon, who passed away, actually, a really good friend of ours. He wanted to record a couple singles, and we did it in the basement of the house. And my daughter was still a baby, and he plays old-timey music, and that was too loud. So we just had a guitar hooked up to a tiny amp in the basement, and that was too loud for the baby. So I said, okay, roll up my sleeves and build the studio as quick as I can. So I had him in here. He was probably my first paid recording job in here. Then for the first band, I mean, we're the first band. First band produced, fully recorded, mixed, and mastered, though. That would be, if I'm excluding myself, it would be Daisy out of Gimli, Interlake area, I should say. They're not all from Gimli, but they're from the Interlake. It's a great band, Daizie.
Oh, we played a show with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody we knew went to.
Yeah.
Except the people in the other band. Yeah, they're a very good band.
They are, yeah. They're a young band. They're growing. They got a unique sound to them, very raw, and it was fun playing, fun opening for them.
I can say, too, on the last album that I did, you helped me out a lot with the vocals, and you do play on a couple songs as well. And I could say from experience, you're a lot more mellow than I expected as a producer type. I mean, I've known you long enough to know that, you know, you can get angry at things, but you're like super chill when it comes to like, okay, you're going to do 8 takes of this one that you're just a little bit pushing too hard on. That was almost good.
Yeah, I'm an energy matcher. So, so if I can tell somebody's timid and everything, I'll give them just soft advice, I'll say. And then with you, I mean, I know you.
Yeah.
So I'm like, come on, Andy, like, let's go.
Yeah, you can do this.
You can do this. We got to get it on the next take.
He asked me today when I came out if I was doing any vocals. I'm like, nah, I don't think so. I'm saving all my soft tones for the podcast.
Yeah.
Your name, it's a lonely ride. I know how you want her.
was it the pandemic that got you going into doing your solo album?
I would say that was a big kick in the butt, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was time. I had all these songs written and ready to go, so I just put the hammer down and started. It's so hard to record yourself. Yeah. I find a lot of people find that too. So I think, like, you just got to put your foot down and hit that red button, because you can think about it all day. And if you don't get it started, you're never going to get it started. So that was a big kick in the butt. It's like, I got all this time on my own. We're not doing anything. Let's record.
What's the name of the album?
It's Jameson Day is my artist name. And the album is called About Times.
And there's how many songs on it?
This is
like a test to you.
I know. I know. You're testing me here. There is 11 songs. They're all a little different. Mostly rock, I would say. I'd kind of put myself in a 90s rock kind of era.
And I would say like one or two were written by your dad?
On this album, no, just one, People's Choice.
And what is that? Can you tell us like the backstory of what your dad wrote and how it went from him to you and then turning it into this?
Yeah, actually on People's Choice, it's pretty interesting because he never released it.
How did you find it? Is it like on a tape somewhere?
Yeah, or? Yeah, it was on an old cassette tape.
Really?
That I remember when I was, 4 or 5 years old, maybe even younger. I was in the basement in Winnipeg, and my dad was recording on this tape deck. Just a cassette player, just one mic and cassette, and he was singing on it. And I remember this song, and that song stuck with me forever. And every now and then I'd find that tape. And then he passed away just over 10 years ago, and we couldn't find the tape. Oh. The tape was lost. So when I recorded, I actually did all of People's Choice by memory, and then I just wrote in the words that I didn't know, so I just made up the rest of the lyrics.
How much of the lyrics did you remember when you were trying to do it? Like
50%.
Because that's a lot, like, that's a long period of time to go from losing the tape to trying to remember.
Yeah. And then actually, the remarkable part is maybe 3 years ago, my mom showed up with the tape.
Really?
She's like, here, I found a bunch of tapes and records in the basement. Do you want them? And I looked through. I'm like, I think this is the tape. And I played it. Yeah, I have the original tape now. So I'm really lucky in that regard. Okay. I was close. There's definitely a few things my dad wrote that I didn't forget about, but I couldn't remember exactly how it went.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can't remember a song that's within 10 or 15 years before. You're not going to remember all the lyrics.
Yeah.
So, recording other bands, you have a lot of social media, which we'll get to later, but if you look up Pick This Productions on the Googles and the Instagrams and the Facebooks and, yep. I don't know, LinkedIn and...
I'm everywhere.
His GeoCities website and anyway, how long have you been doing like other bands? You said it's been a couple years, like how many on average do you get maybe a year?
Oh, I don't even know how to answer that.
Okay.
It's anywhere. I mean, it depends if I'm just mixing a track, if I'm doing full out recording. Sometimes I just get the recording and they go somewhere else to mix. I mean, it's all over the map, but I don't mind. Like, it's not my full-time job, so I do what I can. I have a lot of people who record private songs that are just for themselves and their families.
Cool.
I did have the latest artist that I produced was C Soul.
Okay.
So that's capital C S O U L. C Soul. He's everywhere. Spotify, all the platforms. We recorded that front to back, recorded, mixed, mastered right here in the studio. And those songs are so fun. They're so fun to work on. He's such an amazing person to be around. He's a retired guy from the Interlake, and he wants to record again, so that's something to look forward to. Other than that, I mean, I get young bands in here like Daisy. I've done songs for you. I've done songs for a couple gospel artists. I've had Kieran West in here. I've had, just a bunch of people. My brother, I've mixed almost everything he's ever done. He's David Helgi Johan. He's living the life in Australia right now, touring up and down the East Coast.
Nice.
Yeah, and he's coming out with a new album soon, so something to look forward to there.
I've appreciated using his bass too, by the way.
Yes.
Do you get a lot more like Interlake type people or like outside of the city, or are you getting kind of...
I rarely hear from anybody in the city. Everybody has perimeteritis. it's a thing, man. It's a bad disease that everybody in Winnipeg has, but it's funny because sometimes I'll get inquiries on usually Instagram. A lot of people find me on Instagram and they'll send me a message and they're like, oh, where are you? And I'll give them the address and they're like, where is that? And I'm like, it's just north of Selkirk, like 5-minute drive north of Selkirk. And, and they go, oh, I thought you were in the city. I get that a lot. So yeah, I think Interlake, anywhere in the Interlake, they like to come down here and check it out at least. And yeah.
For reference, by the way, from Chief Peguis, it's like a 20-25 minute drive over the bridge to nowhere. That's right. Whenever anyone asks me where you are, I said, do you know where the bridge to nowhere is?
Under the bridge to nowhere.
Exactly that. They're like, oh yeah, I don't go there.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah.
Perimeteritis is a perfect term for that.
Yeah.
So do you like, because you were mentioning that there are so many different types of musicians. Is there... how hard are they to record if they're that different, like from gospel to me, which is not, and even your own solo stuff, which is heavier by comparison? Do you find it more interesting to have a plethora of stuff, or would you rather like concentrate on one thing?
I honestly, I don't really know. I listen to everything. I don't have hate for too many genres. I mean, when I was younger, I mean, I really didn't like girl and boy groups, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, if a pop artist came in here, I'd be delighted. And they have.
Because it challenges you to sort of open your mind to different sounds and the way you're recording stuff.
Yeah, like I listened to rock all growing up, so I'm most familiar with that. But I got my start mixing with hip hop and rap.
Right. And do you find that was a good place to start too? Like, especially, like I said, opening your mind to other types of music?
I highly suggest if you get into mixing, rap and hip hop is a great place to start. You have to figure out that low end, and it takes a while to figure it out. You have to figure out that low end, how to shape a kick, all that stuff. It's crucial to mixing any genre. So I even if you don't like hip hop and rap, I would say just give it a shot mixing it because the fundamentals are all there.
Sorry, I got distracted. I'm glad you answered, but I can hear myself breathing in the microphone. Like, oh, I'm going to stand over here for a second. But I appreciate that it's, do you find that sort of changed who you became musically when it came to doing your own stuff and other musicians? Like, do you think had you just gone right into rock, you would have a sound coming out that would be different overall as a producer?
Maybe, yeah. I think it, like I said, like shaping those kicks in hip hop and rap and stuff, that really helped learn compression a lot better. That it's such a hard thing to learn, and you're constantly learning about it. Like, you never stop learning about compression, I feel like. You learn how to use it as a tool in other instruments and other songs, and you're just constantly learning every day when you're mixing. So it's fun. But if I just did rock, I mean, I would learn it all eventually. It's just I feel like hip-hop and rap really accelerated it.
Right. When it comes to mixing, are you self-taught? Did you do any like classes and stuff? Did you just sit around and pluck away until you got what you wanted, or is it?
I did one class. I got a diploma with honors from America Institute of Audio. It's an online course by, what's his name?
I was going to make a joke about how it's like overseas and you got your doctorate.
No, apparently this guy worked with the Beatles.
Oh.
It's Miller. Frank Miller?
I think he does the Batman comics from the
Not 80s. Not that guy. His last name's Miller, though, but yeah, it's Audio Institute of America. He is based a little more on analog gear, but it all translates. So I have some schooling. I could have used way more, but I think you just have to jump in sometimes.
Right. What kind of software or hardware do you like to use the most when it comes to recording? Like, you've got this fancy-ass thing here, and you got your fancy-ass one over there.
Yep.
What do you generally use to record someone, like, software-wise?
Software-wise? I started off with a lot of different digital audio workstations, but I landed on Reaper.
By the way, way to say DAW out.
I was trying not to say
wow.
DAW because, I mean, I guess a lot of people who listen to this podcast will know what a DAW is.
Yeah. But no, it was, you just put it in there so well. Anyway, you said Reaper?
Yeah, I use Reaper. I find its routing capabilities are far better than any of the others. I know Pro Tools is the standard. I don't have my Pro Tools badge or certificate, whatever you want to call it.
You can get a certificate for that?
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah, you can be Pro Tools certified.
Wow.
But it's a lot of time and money, and I've used it. I've used Ableton. I've used a plethora of them, and I landed on Reaper. It's open source software. I really like it.
And you can, like, import any amp sounds or extensions that you want for specific things too, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those are all just third-party plugins and stuff. I prefer to get a real amp tone whenever I can.
Yeah.
If people are sending me tracks, I prefer if they send me a DI track if they don't have an amp.
Right, because then you can kind of mess with the sound a bit more.
I can reamp it with one of my many amps out there.
Right. I mean, if you like the way our voices sound, then, you know, this is all his doing. We figured we'd go as, you know, perfect as possible on this thing.
Well, we'll see. I haven't recorded for a podcast before, so.
It's better than what I would have used.
Yeah, we're going to use these at first, right?
Yeah, yeah. I had my regular crappy earphones ready to record the audio with my Mac.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not. You know, he's like, we're in a studio. How is it supposed to be an advertisement for the studio if we don't make it sound good? Right?
You are in a vocal booth. Your voice sounds really nice and boomy.
Yeah.
Mine sounds more tubey, though, because I'm in a...
Welcome to the vocal booth.
Just in a room.
I could do some real ASMR here, right? Scratching my beard. That was pretty good.
Yeah, nice condenser mics.
Yeah, nice work.
I don't even really care. I've been so left and right and up and down and in the air. I've been to mountains and the valleys watching water pass. I try to keep up but I really don't mind being last. The mountains do me. Strouds do me. Everything. I saw a camel, so I went and jumped up on its back. It took me to a desert, through a sandstorm, through a trap. I drank some water just to find out it was a mirage. My lungs are filled with sand, but still I keep on walking strong. The mountains grew me. Everything.
Hey.
The next year or so, what do you see yourself like? I know this sounds like an interview question if you were getting a job, but in the next year or so, what do you see, not just you here as a producer, but as a musician? Do you have a timetable of what you'd like to be next fall?
I've been really struggling with that lately.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Part of it's my fault, so I'm sorry that, you know. It's not delayed.
Just, not just your fault on the solo stuff and everything too. I feel like I'm busy. I feel like, I mean, I have a day job. I have a young family. I have my solo project. I have the studio.
You've got our band that will take another 2 years to finish.
I hope not. But yeah, I mean, I want to get our album out for Dark Stars. I want to start recording some more stuff for Jameson Day. If you don't know, yeah, I should have said at the beginning, my name is James Deberson, but my artist name, my solo name is Jameson Day.
Easier to spell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I'm going to approach it a little different this time, though. I'm not going to do an album. I'm going to do singles because I think that's what everybody's doing right now.
Yeah.
And it might be a little easier on the mixing end of it. Let's just go song by song till I get enough that I can put out an album maybe.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. A lot of musicians won't release an album. They'll release 7 or 8 songs over a year.
Yeah.
And they'll just show up on your, whatever your streaming app is, as those singles instead, which is kind of great because it gives you the time to focus on that one song instead of like going, oh, I forgot on song 4. I had to go do the vocals again. I forgot on song 6. I got to redo the guitar solo or what have you.
I find it's very oversaturated though. Just the music in general, right? Like, I find, because everybody's on Instagram and TikTok and everything, and you're just scrolling, swiping, scrolling, swiping. Like, everybody's so quick to hear a song and just forget about it. It's a very weird time in music, I find.
Yeah, and it's hard to have a lot of musicians that are, like, indie musicians aren't finding the airplay outside of, you know, university or college radio, which is a lot different. Like, there, you used to be able to try and get a band on the FM thing, but now it's permeating everywhere.
Yeah. It's a weird era. Let's just put it that way. I don't know if it'll ever go back or something has to break.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was the same thing back in the day, like labels.
We just sounded really old.
Oh yeah,
are. Yeah. Oh, I remember back in the day when you put it up on music.com and your MySpace.
Yeah, I'm not a young man. No, I know where I stand. But yeah, no, I mean, back in the day, I mean, it was record labels and stuff, right? They got all the money, and the artist is still poor. Like, it's the same thing. Spotify, they don't pay anything. All the online, not just Spotify, but all of them, they don't pay the artists. So you're really relying on people going out to shows. It's very important. Yeah. Go out to shows, buy merch.
Yeah.
You buy merch from the bands that you want to support because that is the only way they are getting paid for this stuff.
Right. So he has a lot of merch. If you look at his stuff,
I don't have a lot of merch.
He has more merch than I expected him to have, which is awesome. Just silence. The look he gave me, like, shut up. How long did the first album take you to record? Like, from start to finish, roughly?
Record? Probably, again, recording myself, it's a lot harder.
Well, yeah, everyone's their worst critic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably 6 months.
Yeah. That's not terrible.
It's not terrible, but it's not good either.
But you, like you said, you've got a young family. You've got a real job. Not a real job. You have a job, a young family, and you have other people like me coming and going like, hey, I need to do 3 hours of vocals or a band showing up. So 6 months actually isn't that, you know, long.
Yeah, I only had mixing jobs during the pandemic, though, so I had time, but it was a lot of late nights, too.
Yeah, and, you know, everyone's brain just didn't function right during the pandemic, right? We were all down on ourselves and using Lysol wipes to spray our...
bananas?
Yeah, the outside of the banana.
Yeah.
So you kind of have an idea of what you want to do. I'm sure, hopefully, this will help you get a couple more people asking you how far from Winnipeg you are. and you've got your solo thing. You've got the band that we're in. Are you at the point now where you're finding this to be rewarding, or are you still head down working whenever you're in here?
Well, I'm always working, but I mean, I'm very proud. Like I produced 3 full length albums in this place, front to back. For me, that's a win. Like that is a huge win. And I just plan on, I'm just going to keep going with it. I'm just going to see where this takes me because I'm not going to be Capitol Records, but I'm going to be something.
Yeah.
Like I want to get my name out there and yeah, I mean, and at the same time too, I don't want to be too busy because that takes time away from family and stuff. So,
yeah.
I haven't been to that point yet. It's kind of been steady customers coming in.
Right.
Which is really nice. We just had a little power outage.
Yeah, that was pretty weird. See that? Yeah. I thought it was like a plane flying overhead or something, but yeah, it was a nice power outage.
So I hope we still have everything going here.
Well.
Oh, yeah, we're good, I think.
Yeah.
What was the question?
I'll go to the next one. You don't have to be specific, but so far, the moment that you had where you were like, fuck yeah, like your proudest moment of going in here, because I'm sure you've had one where you're like, oh man, that was great.
I got both my kids to sing on my little single that I put out. I made a lullaby.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jameson Day has a lullaby, and you will not hear it anywhere else except for on the 45, so the vinyl 45 yeah. for our... Actually, everybody knows what vinyl are. I mean, who doesn't know what vinyl is at this point?
Buy the 45 now.
But yeah, on the 45, so when I'm done the song, all of a sudden the kids start singing it, and it's awesome.
Were they in here in the vocal booth, like singing?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was fun. And they were little. They were like 3-4 years old, so it was great.
How do they see this? Like, do they come in here and go understand what's going on, or is it?
That's just a playground.
Yeah.
There's so many instruments in here. They just come in and make a bunch of noise and then leave me a huge mess to clean up.
I'm pointing at the washboard over here. If you are watching the video, you can see.
There's a washboard. There's a shelf there with all the school instruments that you'd ever see in a school, right? Like, there's so much to tinker with in here. And I mean, they always go to that shelf and play the little congas and the xylophones and blow the whistle 50 times. And then they leave it all over the floor and go in the house and I clean it up.
And you're just like, yeah, this is how a band would be if they were here anyway.
Pretty much, yeah. Bands are messier.
I'm sorry. I try really hard to not be messy.
20 tin cans on the shelf.
Yeah, yeah. So I'd like for people to hear your social media, throw a bunch of, is it Pick This Production on everything?
Yeah. It's Pick This Production on Facebook, Instagram. If you have questions or anything, you shoot me a message on there. If you want to follow me on my music profiles, it's Jameson Day Music on Instagram. I don't have TikTok because I don't really want to be an influencer.
you know what? You probably, of all the people I know, you could probably have the most material.
Eh, yeah. I just don't want to do it.
Because
don't
you could be just that person. Have quick little, you know, now I kind of want to push you into getting one just for shits and giggles, but you could walk around here and be like, oh, here I am playing, learning to play this song on each instrument.
But isn't there like 10,000 people already doing that?
You know what?
Apparently, it's the only way to promote myself, I'm told. So,
really?
But you know what? I'm getting steady clients, so I am... My word of mouth is working for me.
Yeah, and being on a platform like this will be helpful as well.
Oh, yeah.
So the Headful of Radio podcast, which everyone who's listening to this probably has never heard it, and they were like, what the hell is that? It's a Radiohead podcast where my friend and I review every song chronologically. He had never heard anything before that except for Creep. There's a point to this. We're at about episode 91 or so. Comes out every week and you hear a new song. But this is how it relates to this, is that I decided, screw it, I'm going to make a TikTok. I don't look at them, but I edit episodes into like minute long sections and then find either a live version of them so that I don't get the copyright.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then have us like doing quotes and reactions to stuff. I find it's bringing in more people to the podcast than just it being out there. It's weird. I'm like, really? You came here for this minute long thing and now you actually want to listen to us yammer about it for 15 minutes? Great. But it's not like it's making me money, and the advertising on TikTok is weird too. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know how to work this. I feel, you know, I'm a pretty smart guy when it comes to tech stuff, but even that I was like, eh, this feels weird. It's like Instagram. When you buy an Instagram ad, you're like, I don't know, this feels weird.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you target it right, I guess, but it's a whole other monster that I really don't feel like learning and getting into.
Well, I remember you did do some, was it Instagram ad or Facebook ads, and you were not really happy with how they turned out?
Yeah. It got me. I got no replies from
nothing.
That. Nothing. No. Yeah, it was, I couldn't understand it, but I mean, that's just me. I mean, I'm just going to keep going with this, and people who like coming in here tell other people, and they usually come and check it out and want to record. So I'm happy with that.
Then that's a great place to leave it.
Yep.
Thank you for your time, sir.
Time has passed since I picked up this.